Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord! How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. And then looking in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, picking up at verse 10. A final word: be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me, too. Ask God to give me the right word so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for Him as I should. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you once again for your powerful and wonderful word. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to open your word and spend time one-on-one with you every day as you speak words of blessing, counsel, grace, and direction. Father, as we spend time in your word, you reach into our hearts and mold and shape us to become more and more like you. With every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and your word, and empower us all to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for being a good healer. Thank you so much for being a good father. Thank you so much for knowing just what we need whenever we need it. Father, I ask that we'd grow more in love with scriptures and that we would come to you more with our troubles and trials. Father, I ask that we'd trust in you more in the midst of darkness, in the midst of whenever we're facing the enemy, whenever we're facing trials, Father. I know that you can protect us. You can lead us through. So Father, thank you so much for your provision, and thank you so much that we can trust in you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, the Word of God tells us God is love. And so if God is love, and He is, that means the Word of God is love. And so as you read and meditate on the Word of God, you're consuming more and more of the love of God working in and upon your life. We're called to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God's love, and we're to walk in such a way that wherever we go, the love of God flows through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do. To represent Christ well, we need to be full of the Spirit of love, who is the Holy Spirit. Father, anoint us all afresh today with the Spirit of love. Empower us to know, Lord, that we're here to be servants, to represent you. And as one of the critical ways, of course, we do that is as we love people, as we seek to be the blessing, the full blessing to people around us that you'd have us to be. Help us to know, Lord, that outside of love, we cannot represent you. You are love, and we are your children. So empower us by your Spirit to speak words of love, to act in such a way where we sacrificially give of all we are, all we have, to express to the world what you would have us to share with them. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you an article, as we often do. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, joseph@afr.net. The article's entitled, God's Word, Three Chapters a Day. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, Psalm 119, verse 105. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, Hebrews 4, 12. Practicing daily spiritual habits are necessary in our daily walk with the Lord. Why is this true? Because followers of Christ are to be passionately faithful. In life, we form habits to help us consistently do things that are important to us, habits that help us accomplish the goals we believe are critical to our lives. I regularly encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least three chapters in God's Word every day. This habit is one of the most important habits in life one would be wise to establish. Why three chapters and why every day? If a believer reads three chapters in the Word of God every day, that can be a basic spiritual meal for him or her. It might be that you read the same chapter three times, or you may read three different chapters. Doing either one is fruitful and very productive in your life and in your walk with Christ. How is this helpful? The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when you're reading the Word of God, it's one-on-one time talking and spending time with Jesus. It's your daily appointment time with Him. The Lord Jesus will spend as much time with you as you will spend with Him in His Word. It's important for us to read the Word of God every day. Just as our bodies need physical food every day, so too must we feed our spirits daily as well. God's Word is food for our spirits like physical food is for our physical bodies. Feeding your physical body every day can help you to be strong, vibrant, and healthy. Feeding your spirit the Word of God daily can help you to be strong, vibrant, and spiritually healthy. Now, if a man or woman only ate a small snack once every other day, very soon he or she would grow physically weak. Likewise, when a believer only reads a verse or two from the Word of God every day or every other day, he or she will become spiritually weak. Sadly, it appears that too many believers live on what you might call a starvation diet spiritually as far as the Word of God and the reading of it is concerned. It's spiritual neglect. Too many believers may not even pick up a Bible for days. It is for this reason that many believers are spiritually anemic, spiritually weak and frail when it comes to spiritual things. My suggestion to you is today, start the habit of reading no less than three chapters in the Word of God every day. It's a way of blessing and rewarding yourself. See Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, and Genesis 15, verse 1. Why not start rewarding yourself today? Here are 10 great reasons to start reading God's Word every single day. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Next, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105, and 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17. Next, it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Then it sharpens your ability to hear the Holy Spirit more clearly. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Next, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4:20-22. Next, it helps you maintain your mental health. Next, it increases the anointing in every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians 1:5 once again for both of those. Next, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. See Proverbs chapters 1-3. Then it enhances your intellect and personality. It literally can increase your IQ. See 1 Corinthians 1:5. Next, it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 2. And 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 2, chapter 2, excuse me, chapter 1, verses, verse 2, and 2 Timothy 1, 2, then Galatians 5, 22. Reading 3 chapters a day in the Word of God will bless you tremendously. Let's make it a high priority. And parents, we're wise to have our children read at least 3 chapters out loud to us every day. Also, it will greatly bless them, you, and your home. Again, the title of that article, God's Word, 3 chapters a day. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Father, thank you again for the opportunity for us to read and study your word every day. Thank you for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation. And thank you for all those that are part of our listening family today. Lord, help us today to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And again, our ongoing encouragement to you is that you would make it a goal to pray the Ten Commandments on a daily basis. We hope that you will take the time to do that. We're encouraging you to individually and as a family as well. And of course, I want to continue to remind you to praying Psalm 91 every day is very wise because, again, remember, in the crazy, dangerous world we live in, no one can protect you like the Lord can. And Psalm 91 is a unique and a powerful weapon God has put in the Word as a weapon to a weapon that both can minister to your physical health, but also provide or be a tool whereby God provides supernatural protection for you and your family. So our encouragement is that you'll take time to pray it over yourself and over your family every single day. Thank you, Lord, for the prayer lives of all those we've lifted up in prayer today. And thank you for the prayer lives of every single listener. Father, bless each and every one of our prayer lives indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each of us. Keep us from evil that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for those we prayed for today. And thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. And thank you for your mercy at work in and through each and every one of our lives. Father, thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terrible night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You're with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We'll be right back.
Thank you. you speak from heaven, we call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven, we call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven, we call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness, super amazing.
Music of Dunsin Oyakhan with Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning at verse 10. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers, in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord, our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. O Lord, the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make your people always want to obey you. See to it that their love for you never changes. Give my son Solomon the wholehearted desire to obey all your commands, laws, and decrees, and to do everything necessary to build this temple, for which I have made these preparations. Then David said to the whole assembly, give praise to the Lord your God. And the entire assembly praised the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and they bowed low and knelt before the Lord and the king. The next day they brought 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 male lambs as burnt offerings to the Lord. They also brought liquid offerings and many other sacrifices on behalf of all Israel. They feasted and drank in the Lord's presence with great joy that day. And again they crowned David's son Solomon as their new king. They anointed him before the Lord as their leader, and they anointed Zadok as priest. So Solomon took the throne of the Lord in place of his father, David, and he succeeded in everything, and And all Israel obeyed him. All the officials, the warriors, and the sons of King David pledged their loyalty to King Solomon. And the Lord exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel, and he gave Solomon greater royal splendor than any king in Israel before him. So David, son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. He reigned over Israel for 40 years, 7 of them in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. He died at a ripe old age, having enjoyed a long life, wealth, and honor. Then his son Solomon ruled in his place. All the events of King David's reign, from beginning to end, are written in the record of Samuel the seer, the record of Nathan the prophet, and the record of Gad the seer. These accounts include the mighty deeds of his reign and everything that happened to him and to Israel and to all the surrounding kingdoms. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Solomon, son of David, took firm control of his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him very powerful. Solomon called together all the leaders of Israel, the generals and captains of the army, the judges, and all the political and clan leaders. Then he led the entire assembly to the place of worship in Gibeon, for God's tabernacle was located there. This was the tabernacle that Moses, the Lord's servant, had made in the wilderness. David had already moved the Ark of God from Kiriath-Jearim to the tent he had prepared for it in Jerusalem. But the bronze altar made by Bezalel, son of Uri, and grandson of Hur, was there at Gibeon in front of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Solomon and the people gathered in front of it to consult the Lord. There in front of the tabernacle, Solomon went up to the bronze altar in the Lord's presence and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings on it. That night God appeared to Solomon and said, "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." Reading verse 7 again. That night God appeared to Solomon and said, "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." Solomon replied to God, "You showed great and faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly, for who could possibly govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies or a long life, but rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested. But I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future." Then Solomon returned to Jerusalem from the tabernacle at the place of worship in Gibeon, and he reigned over Israel. Solomon built up a huge force of chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. He stationed some of them in the chariot cities and some near him in Jerusalem. The king made silver and gold as plentiful in Jerusalem as stone, and valuable cedar timber was as common as the sycamore fig trees that grow in the foothills of Judah. Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt and from Cilicia. The king's traders acquired them from Cilicia at the standard price. At that time, chariots from Egypt could be purchased for 600 pieces of silver and horses for 150 pieces of silver. They were then exported to the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Aram. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Solomon decided to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord and also a royal palace for himself. He enlisted a force of 70,000 laborers, 80,000 men to quarry stone in the hill country, and 3,600 foremen. Solomon also sent this message to King Hiram at Tyre. Send me cedar logs as you did for my father David when he was building his palace. I'm about to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord my God. It will be a place set apart to burn fragrant incense before him, to display the special sacrificial bread, and to sacrifice burnt offerings each morning and evening on the Sabbaths, at new moon celebrations, and at the other appointed festivals of the Lord our God. He has commanded Israel to do these things forever. This must be a magnificent temple because our God is greater than all other gods. But who can really build him a worthy home? Not even the highest heavens can contain him. So who am I to consider building a temple for him, except as a place to burn sacrifices to him? So send me a master craftsman who can work with gold, silver, bronze, and iron, as well as with purple, scarlet, and blue cloth. He must be a skilled engraver who can work with the craftsmen of Judah and Jerusalem, who were selected by my father, David. Also send me cedar, cypress, and red sandalwood, logs from Lebanon, for I know that your men are without equal at cutting timber in Lebanon. I will send my men to help them. An immense amount of timber will be needed, for the temple I'm going to build will be very large and magnificent. In payment for your woodcutters, I will send 100,000 bushels of crushed wheat, 100,000 bushels of barley, 110,000 gallons of wine, and 110,000 gallons of olive oil. It is because the Lord loves his people that he has made you their king. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who made the heavens and the earth. He has given King David a wise son, gifted with all skill and understanding, who will build a temple for the Lord and a royal palace for himself. I'm sending you a master craftsman named Huram Abi, who is extremely talented. His mother is from the tribe of Dan in Israel, and his father is from Tyre. He is skillful at making things from gold, silver, bronze, and iron, and he also works with stone and wood. He can work with purple, blue, and scarlet cloth, and fine linen. He is also an engraver and can follow any designs given to him. He will work with your craftsmen and those appointed by my Lord David, your father. Send along the wheat, barley, olive oil, and wine that my Lord has mentioned. We will cut whatever timber you need from the Lebanon mountains and will float the logs in rafts down the coast of the Mediterranean Sea to Joppa. From there, you can transport the logs up to Jerusalem. Solomon took a census of all foreigners in the land of Israel, like the census his father had taken, and he counted 153,600. He assigned 70,000 of them as common laborers, 80,000 as quarry workers in the hill country, and 3,600 as foremen. 2 Chronicles chapter 3. So Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to David, his father. The temple was built on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite, the site that David had selected. The construction began in mid-spring, during the fourth year of Solomon's reign. These are the dimensions Solomon used for the foundation of the temple of God using the old standard of measurement. It was 90 feet high and 30 feet wide. The entry room at the front of the temple was 30 feet wide, running across the entire width of the temple and 30 feet high. He overlaid the inside with pure gold. He paneled the main room of the temple with cypress wood, overlaid with fine gold, and decorated it with carvings of palm trees and chains. He decorated the walls of the temple with beautiful jewels and with gold from the land of Parvaim. He overlaid the beams, thresholds, walls, and doors throughout the temple with gold, and he carved figures of cherubim on the walls. He made the most holy place 30 feet wide, corresponding to the width of the temple, and 30 feet deep. Verses 1 through 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 3. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back.
To believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach, called me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see it's way beyond me. Trading it all for the plans you got. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach, call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so.
The music of Toby Mac with Beyond Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the book of 1 John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and see a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth so that we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him, and he with them. And we know that he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this all, for every child of God defeats this evil world, And we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ has revealed as God's Son by his baptism. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And all three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know, all who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe that God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, we should pray and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. All wicked actions are sin, but not every sin leads to death. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God, and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. End of 1 John. Thank you, Father, again for your word. Thank you for the power that rests in your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read and meditate on your word each and every day. Lord, help us to realize that in the busyness of life, with all that we have on our plates and all the agendas we have going, help us to know, Lord, that making time in your word needs to be one of the top priorities of our lives as followers of Christ. Help us to grow in our understanding of the importance of us listening to the voice of God as Lord, as you speak to us through your word, and listening to you as you speak to us by your Spirit. Help us to become excellent at listening to your voice and obeying your voice. Help us to know, Lord, that so much of life is just simply us listening and obeying whatever it is and all that you've called us to do. And help us to know, Lord, that there's so many priorities that your Spirit gives to us. And as we listen, we can know the right priorities and live them out. Thank you for the opportunity for us to become and for us to be able to excel in listening as we read and meditate on your word. And as we listen to you in prayer and just simply sitting and being still as we listen to you, we thank you for the opportunity and that privilege. More and more, help us to not only read your word, but help us to be wise enough to get tools like audio Bibles so that we can use those to soak in and to take in more and more of your word individually as we ride in our vehicles and sometimes even in our homes, letting your word play so that we and each member of our families can absorb and consume your word even as we do other things from sometimes. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. as we normally do before we end the broadcast. If you're listening today and you know you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, today is a good day to pray and fully commit your heart and your life to the Lord. Would you simply pray this prayer with me now and invite Christ to come into your heart to save you and make you brand new? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've ever done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you for my entire life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ, received him, and prayed that prayer, we want to communicate and be in touch with you. Again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. And we want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to really grow strong in your brand new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be in touch so we can get that information to you again. That once again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, the title is God's Word, 3 Chapters a Day. Simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. That article or any of the other articles we've mentioned as reference Christian education tools, we're glad to share them with you, for you, your family, to use as well, and to pass on to others. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.